Bonjour, je suis le grand musicien.
Je suis la jeune fille.
What is this for, like, in the middle of it?
Yeah, in the middle, we're just going to put it in there like, hey, thanks for listening.
We're not talking like that.
Okay.
I refuse to make it sound like a commercial. Yeah. You just got to tell everyone that they need to follow us on social media at PickFreaks on TikTok and Instagram, and to give us 5-star rating. You can roast us, but don't give us less than 5 stars.
Yeah.
That's all we have to say.
So just say that.
Is there
any, go.
Yeah, if you're listening,
just cut
now,
what I said and put it on there. Method. Who cares?
Muzzy now comes with 4 videos, 2 audios, a script book, parents' guide, and new exciting CD-ROM, plus this free bonus with your paid order.
I need to talk about something before we get started. I saw a new haircut today, and it really was, it was so strange. It's a new, a guy with a haircut. And it was, so imagine you put your headphones above, like, not on your ears, just above, you know, like if you're talking to someone, you're like
that?
You would take them off so you could hear. Yeah. So just like at your temples. Now imagine you shaved everything around that, but you kept your headphones there and it connected to your beard. So this guy had a beard that went all the way up to here and it just had puffs of hair on the side.
All right, so what Owen's describing here is almost like a poodle.
It was like if you had, it was like if you had the balding haircut, like the cul-de-sac, but you got rid
or
of
like the
back.
Shogun.
It was kind of a reverse. It was kind of shogunny, but missing out the back. He was working out at my gym, but that's the first time I've seen him. So we'll see if I'll see him again tomorrow and see if it cut.
Does he have
on.
A? Is there a ponytail?
No, it's bald in the back. It's like a buzz cut too. Actually, it wasn't even a full beard. It was like mutton chops. He had a shave down here, here to down here.
I'm very curious about this because I can't quite picture it.
I almost picture like a Nike logo, sort of, kind of reverse, like down.
Kind of. Sort of thing. But it was like, it was literally the shape of your headphones. If you put those on there, that exact circle, but connect that to your beard going down.
Do you think he's covering something up, or do you think he's trying to be trendy, or...
I don't know what his end goal is. I am curious to see if he thinks it looks cool.
I pulled up a couple of screen grabs. Can you let me know if any of these are... I just typed in Seattle weird haircut headphones. Is anything like this?
Holy wow. Shit. Right? Kind of.
It's hard to describe.
No, go to the guy. Go to the first guy. So, same area, but this looks... This is surprisingly...
The guy's wearing a mask too.
It's so essentially, yeah, it's basically just like a headphone haircut, like cans. You call these like big headphones.
Yeah,
over
but
your
you
headphones.
Don't have the. You don't have this part. This is gone. This is shaved. So it's just a circle here, down to the beard.
Why does Sean McVay show up in that?
I don't know. That guy is a weird looking human being, though. He looks like an ugly
Seattle?
Ken doll.
He kind of reminds me of one of the kids from Little People, Big World.
All right, let's talk about Ghostbusters. We're already behind. I am not going to describe Ghostbusters. Everybody in the world has seen Ghostbusters, except for Owen up until this week. How have you avoided Ghostbusters this long?
I didn't actively avoid it. It just happened.
That's crazy because I actually wrote notes this time. Very rare because Kevin really got in my head about the last one, the last podcast. And
Dennis is so in his own head about just about everything. And then he blames other people to getting in his head.
Yeah. My first note is, I feel like Ghostbusters is a movie I've seen so many times, but I can't remember the last time I watched it. It's just a movie that's like, maybe just my childhood. I've just seen it so many times, but
it was just always on TV.
Yeah.
Especially during Halloween season. And
how did you avoid that, Owen?
I feel like I never saw that. I wasn't on TNT all the time like you, Dennis.
Have you avoided like other 80s comedies like Beverly Hills Cop?
Never seen that.
What movies did your dad like?
My dad was not a movie. My dad was not a movie guy. And I think that's why.
Because I know Kevin's dad's a big Bill Murray guy. because I've watched Stripes with him.
Yeah, before. he sent us a Bill Murray clip on.
He loves meatballs. He loves the movie Meatballs. Because there's one scene where like Bill Murray goes, too, he just says nothing matters. It's like his favorite scene.
No, yeah, not the movie for me.
Have you seen Groundhog's Day?
No.
Oh my god!
You have a lot of good movies to watch. Like, I listened to a whole book about that this era of comedy. Like,
these are all
Blues Brothers,
Bill Murray. These are all Bill Murray movies.
No, it's like the 80s comedy was Eddie Murphy, Dan Aykroyd, Jim Belushi, or the other Belushi, Chevy Chase.
It's like the original SNL people.
Yeah, and they all just had a Oh, have you seen Caddyshack?
Bits and pieces.
You worked at a golf course.
I know, and I honestly, that's probably why I don't want to watch it, because everyone quotes that movie at a golf course, and you're like, yeah.
Cinderella story.
Okay, well, yeah, I feel for you, Dennis. I agree. Like, I have seen every part of this movie 1,000 times. I think I actively rewatched it about 5 to 7 years ago, just out of curiosity. And then I rewatched it this past Halloween just because I was watching all the classic Halloween movies, which is why I have to admit, like, I watched the first 50 minutes of this very actively, and the last 50 minutes I skimmed through because I'm like, I just watched this movie. I don't need to see this plot for plot.
Yeah, I guess I don't think about this as a Halloween movie, but I guess it is.
I mean, the new one's coming out in midsummer. It's really just like a big time movie.
After watching this movie, I'm like, this is, without Bill Murray, this movie wouldn't exist. Like, it's a Bill Murray movie. That's how I think of it, at least. I mean, the story's okay.
But I'd make a case for a lot against a lot of the things you said, but before we get into the actors, Dennis, did you remember the plot at all before you rewatched it, or was it all just kind of a blur of scenes in your mind?
It was... I don't remember why they actually created Ghostbusters. Like, that was kind of new to me. I remember the ending sort of scene and the Keymaster and Gatekeeper, that thing. But yeah, it's kind of just bits and pieces, like lines and stuff like that.
Before I rewatched it in this past fall, like, I just, none of it was a cohesive story in my head. It was all just like the song, them sliding down the fireman pole, yeah. The, like, just random things in my head. Like, I never, and I would argue, I thought it was actually a really good story. Dennis, can you name all four Ghostbuster actors?
The actors? Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, Beckman, and the black guy. I don't know.
I knew that. I feel like Kevin was setting you up.
No, because there's another one, Egon.
Yeah, that's Beckman. That's his character name.
Yeah, I know. I don't want his character name. I want the actor name. And he also, I think, directed the movie.
Yeah. Shit, I just looked at his IMDb because he wrote it with Dan Aykroyd. I forget. He died.
Dan Aykroyd did?
No.
Oh. Who?
Harold Ramis.
Damn. Oh, yeah.
Miss him.
He's done a lot of stuff. Well, nothing that would matter to you, Owen, because you didn't watch any movies from the 80s, but he did.
Gone Too Soon.
Animal House, he did Stripes, he's maybe like the best part of Stripes. No, Bill Murray's the best part of Stripes. Or John Candy. Wait, oh, do you like any like Steve Martin movies?
That the guy with the white hair? Okay. Pink Panther? Is that Pink Panther?
Yeah, Umbugle.
No, like Airplane?
No, he's not in that.
Yeah, I will say like 80s, anything like in the 80s, I'm not a huge fan of. I think a lot of the movies, not for me.
Are you not a fan just because you weren't exposed to them?
Kind of. As much? I think so. I don't know if it was just exposure. I also didn't like the way that they looked how they were shot when I was that young.
You are in the minority here. Like, it has the 80s movies have the most unique style. Drive, one of your favorite movies of all time, is literally an 80s inspired movie.
Yeah, but it's. You don't get it. That's like two different things, though. It doesn't look the same, in my opinion. I understand what you're saying, but...
The sound is the same.
That's fine.
Okay.
I like that sound. Most 80s synth stuff, I'm not a fan with. But when it is upgraded and new, I like that. Because it's a little bit different.
Hmm. I didn't hear any of this when we listened to Smiths. That's all 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Did I love the Smiths, though?
Yes.
I think one or two songs. I was not as into it as I thought. I liked it more than Dennis. Some things
are bigger than others.
Yeah, that's Dennis's favorite.
All right, would you do us a favor, Owen? Go to your Apple Music and delete the Smiths from
delete it right now.
No.
Delete it from your thing. Nope. Delete all those songs.
Yeah, good idea.
You don't like them. But you just did a Dana Carvey impression. Not gonna do it.
Is that?
That's an 80s guy.
Oh,
not
man.
Gonna do it. It's Dana Carvey doing George Bush. See, not gonna do it.
Who's late 80s? Who Owen might be cool with?
Oh, gotcha.
You guys love to do this to me. Do you notice that?
I know.
You
I know.
You love to push me into saying why I like it, but you can't just accept that I don't enjoy something.
It's entertaining for us to try to convince you.
I feel like you have very hard opinions about it.
And yes, I do.
I want to
pry you.
See why you do.
Kevin likes to try to push me to think different, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But he's like, I think Kevin's like, Owen doesn't know what he's talking about. He actually likes it.
I just want to hear you defend it is what it comes down to.
I feel like you're
entitled to your opinion. I just want to hear a cohesive argument.
My problem is someone could convince me of anything's good. Dennis
can convince himself that he hated something, but then starts talking about it positively. He's like, wait a second, I might actually like this. Just like he did with
you guys could be like, the guy did look at the camera that one time. Cool. Like, whoa, that was pretty cool.
I was just talking to Dennis before we started recording, and I convinced him the Bible was good. So he did. So yeah, he's pretty easily 33
years. I'm like, religion sucks. All it took was a 30-second conversation where my computer rebooted halfway
Here's another problem that I probably have is I like to shut things out a lot because I don't like being sold on stuff and trying to be convinced otherwise because I have too many opinions that I don't want to think deeper into. Like, this is easier to just cut it out because I know I don't like it. I don't want to be persuaded. It's too much work.
You don't want to have even put the brain power towards it because it's like, I don't want to like it. I don't like it. It's with me, like me with food. Like, I don't like mayonnaise. I don't want to be convinced to like mayonnaise. Like, fuck mayonnaise. I get that.
Owen, what's the last big thing that you thought you hated, but you ended up like, whoa, I actually like this. Why did I leave this out of my life?
Tuna. Like tuna. Canned tuna.
Oh, tuna, that is good.
Dude, it happened. It happened this week. So, so we're making sandwiches for the boys, and Sarah told me that, you know, tuna is great if you put Kevin's favorite, if you put mayonnaise in it. After you put
Isn't
mayonnaise,
it already mayonnaise
and you put pickles, no. you put pickles on top of it. Yeah. And I was like, oh, damn, this is starting to sound pretty good. I got to try it. So I was making the boys a sandwich, and I made myself one. And I was like, oh my God, people need to know about this. It was so good.
That's exactly how I make. And the worst part of tuna is the smell. But like what the taste is doesn't taste like how it smells. So if you can get past that,
yeah.
I think you'll like
Sometimes
it.
You'll get a whiff of it and you're like, ooh, that was kind of gross. But then you start eating. It's good. It's good stuff.
Isn't it just like really salty?
No.
Oh, I don't
it's
know.
Like it's like salmon. You've had salmon, right?
Yeah,
imagine salmon and mayonnaise. It's kind of what it is.
Okay. Well, I like fish. So I just
doesn't
don't like...
sound like you do.
Yeah, you don't like
I
fish.
I think you like
yes,
fish.
I do.
Do you like fish sticks?
Yeah. No, I like you go to a restaurant, you eat like a if I go to a restaurant and I order
you
a
go,
tuna.
Wait, I wanna hear your story about fish. Go ahead.
If I go to Applebee's and if I order like the salmon, I would enjoy it. Or I used
What's
to
What's your
like,
favorite type of fish?
I don't know. It all tastes the fucking same to me.
No.
It sounds like a guy that doesn't eat fish.
This is
fish.
Like Dennis trying to explain 100 Gex that everything sounded the same to him.
Yeah. I like fish. I like shrimp. I like fish.
Shrimp's not a fish.
Do you notice the color of the fish when you eat it? Is it like pink or is it white?
No. Whenever I eat fish, I'm like, okay, like it's good. It's solid. It you know, it's a little flaky. I hate like that you have to like you take a spoon or a fork full of it and then it like half of it falls off your fork.
That can get frustrating.
I like fish.
How
like,
are you
I
normal
think it's very
what's healthy. The how is it normally cooked?
Can we
no
fucking
I need
talk
to
about
no,
I love Kevin describing
fun.
This because none
this
of it's about
fun.
The taste or the type of fish. It's about when you take your fork and you cut it. This is what I like about fish, and it's flaky. and it's on your plate, and yeah, it's a meal, and you eat it, it's calories. Dude,
but the thing is, he didn't explain anything that he liked about the fish. He didn't like that it flakes and falls off the fork.
Here's what I like about it. I like steak. I like chicken. Fish is a healthier version of that. Everybody says, like, if you could do like an all fish diet, that's a great way to go. So when I eat fish, I'm like, it's not as good as steak or chicken, but it's a very satisfying substitute, very close to the taste.
What kind of fish are you eating?
There's like a really nice prepackaged meal that I get from the grocery store that like has like seven different fish varieties, and I've had all of them.
Okay.
I believe Kevin. I believe Kevin that you like fish. We'll stop prying.
Thank you.
But
Owen reversed it. He got me sick to convince you.
Next time we're together, let's go get seafood together. I promise you, I will.
You guys should come to Seattle. This is another opportunity for you guys to come out to Seattle. We have so much seafood.
Oh, and you like oysters, right? Fish.
I love oysters. I actually was debating on going to the oyster farm this Saturday.
Yeah,
it's just a long.
I feel
drive.
Like. I mean, how could you? Like oysters and not tuna, because I feel like it's kind of the same sort of disgustingness at first.
I think it was the canned part where it was just like, it's gross that it's canned and just sits on a shelf forever.
All right, can I ask you guys a question?
So, we got to move on, Kevin. I can tell Kevin wants us to move on.
Well, you're going to get mad at me when it's 2 hours later and we haven't talked about Ghostbusters.
But this is fun. I enjoy it.
You guys, are you we done? Busted my chops. And are we ready to bust some ghosts?
Yeah.
Owen's giving me the salute. All right.
That leads me to my first question, just about the movie. Does busting make you guys feel good, Owen?
That's a really great question, Dennis. But I like to hear Kevin's thought on busting.
Yeah. 100%. Yes. Busting
makes me feel good.
Makes me feel great. I'd even say great. I enjoy it. Big fan of busting. Pro busting.
Yeah, busting is pretty sweet.
I don't vote, but put busted on the ballot. I'm first in line. September.
That's going to be a messy ballot that you're handed in.
That's a good one. Dennis, can I ask a different question?
Yeah.
All right. So this movie obviously opens up with the most iconic movie song of all time.
Can we not put that at the beginning of the podcast?
The busting thing? No, that's too obvious. Okay, so obviously Owen doesn't like that song, but can't even listen to it for a 12-second snippet. What other songs do you think rank high in like the original movie songs? Can you think of any off the top of your head?
I was actually just thinking about a movie the other day where I loved the original song. And actually thought this was a real band that sang this song. And it's That Thing You Do. That Thing You Do.
Yeah.
Breaking My... That song.
It's almost like they had that song and then they wrote the movie around it because it's that and good.
I thought that was a real band when I was little. So
What movie is that?
That Thing You Do.
Oh, it's from the movie.
Yeah, and it's about like a band that has a one-hit wonder. And it's just like... it's got your guy in it, Tom Hanks. I think he... produced it.
Yeah, he's in it also.
No way.
It's basically like Beatles if they had a one-hit wonder. That's kind of how they are.
Oh, that sounds like a really good movie. When was that released?
98? Late 90s. Wow. A lot of good actors.
I'm shocked I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, and can you think of any movie songs that you love?
I'm trying to think, and I'm going to have to come back.
Johnny Jewel.
Ooh, that's it. Okay. That's the song. Lost River.
I'm trying to think if there's anything a little bit more popular that I didn't think about this beforehand. I mean, that Rocky song is awesome.
Hard Knock Life by Annie.
Oh, that's a good song. That's a musical.
I didn't actually like it. I just was trying to see what you guys thought.
There's a lot of good Disney songs.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like maybe we can make that a whole podcast. Even.
I know. I would love to do that, but I want to just name one that I love. Give me 1 second to just try to find something.
If a double-decker bus crashes into us.
The first thing that comes up is, you know what?
By your side.
Okay, I'll give a good example of a song that still holds up that is completely original to a movie. Lose Yourself by Eminem. every once in a while, I'll go down an Eminem wormhole where I'm just like, I want to listen to Eminem while driving or something. And that guy's a champ.
He made that for that movie.
I guess I believe so. Yeah, 8 Mile. That did come out, I think, when the movie was coming out.
I've never seen that movie. I would love to watch that someday.
Yeah.
You've never seen 8 Mile?
No. Heard all the songs and I know the plot, but all right. You guys ready to get into the movie?
Yeah.
So this movie, after the song, it opens up at a haunted public library. My first question for you guys, when was the last time you were at a public library? Owen, give me an answer.
Yesterday at...
Whoa!
It's not for me. Buddy goes to tutor every day, or every Wednesday. So I pick him up from tutor. I'm there every week. I pick up some books off the shelf sometimes too, pretend like I'm going to start reading it. And I'm like, oh, this is too many words. So I put it back. I'm just looking for pictures. A lot of good looking books though. I would say. I was like, man, I might read this.
I love going to a bookstore, just walking around, looking at the things I'll never read. It can be quite entertaining. So, but you haven't gone for your own reason since like college, probably?
Probably.
Dennis, what about you?
I was there a month ago, but it was for a meeting room. So it had nothing to do
with... That's good. No, that's what they're for. That's what they're for. So I'll accept
it was a free
answer.
Meeting room. And actually, last night at 4 a.m., I pulled up my library card because I was trying to read. I'm like, I deleted all my social media. So I'm like, I got to do something with my phone. So I tried to rent a book through the app. And you have to wait. I was trying to rent the book Dune for whatever reason. I don't know why.
That's random. Yeah.
Thought of this book. And there's like a 4-month wait for me to read Dune through the library.
Of course.
Electronic. Electronic.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say audiobook, but same premise.
Yeah, because there's some app.
I don't get that.
There's some app that you can like rent electronic books, but they can only give out so many, I guess.
Because the libraries have to buy credits that they can... Libby, yeah. It's actually started in Cleveland. It was called Overdrive.
Yeah. Oh. I use Libby, too. So I use that for audiobooks.
So then I bought the book for like $3. I've read like 5 pages at like 4 a.m. So...
I don't like libraries, like just because I don't like renting books, just because I read, but I hate giving the book back after I read. It's almost like building a puzzle and then all of a sudden you have to like give it away. Like it's like, no, I spent so much time with that. Like I don't want to just give that to somebody. I want it as like a trophy on a shelf somewhere. But I did when I was at OSU, I used to love going to like the 8th floor and just walking around the stacks. And it just like... when I saw that scene in Ghostbusters, it just made me realize, like, can there be a better place for a haunting, Dennis? Like a public library in New York City where, like,
yeah,
think about that movie, The Unbinding. This thing goes into some weirdo's home for 2 weeks, then all of a sudden it goes back into the shelves. Like, there must be, like, if this anything was going to be haunted, it would be one of those books.
I was thinking, because I used to go at OU. I think Owen used to go too. Like the 7th and 8th floor of the library were like just the stacks. And so there was really no, it was all books. And then like on the perimeter of it was seats. And so that's where I would always go. And that's exactly what that scene made me think of, because you would like walk down there and be like, who the fuck is reading any of these books ever? Especially nowadays. Like,
yeah. How many of those books have not been touched?
Yeah.
In like decades, or it's like they haven't moved from there. You pull it out, the dust flying off of
it. It is funny. And then this movie came out in 1984. I wrote a note of this. Harold Ramis at one point goes, "Print is dead," and he says that, which was surprising in 1984.
Oh, a little early for that.
Yeah,
especially 1984.
Yeah,
a famous year for government totalitarianism. You weren't thinking about that at all.
Okay. Agree, Kevin. Totally.
I feel very weird. I have all these notes and I'm like, I want to say them all, but I don't know when to put them in.
Is so this your first time doing notes?
Yeah, it is.
That's a big thoughts.
I've wrote this. You know what's really funny? I write notes every single podcast. This is the first one I didn't write notes. And Dennis wrote them himself.
Well, I'm coming back because, Kevin, you know what? When they bring you down, you got to rise up. Okay.
Well, I would argue the point of writing notes isn't about actually looking back at the notes. It's just gathering your thoughts at the time. So when somebody asks you about something, you have it ready mentally. Like, you want to just have that note buried in your subconscious. So like, you don't actually just like read your notes. You just like, I remember why I thought. Yeah.
Thanks for that.
For that note, all I wrote was print is dead.
that's my note on notes. Nice. Okay. Print is dead. You heard it here. Second.
Dennis, we get it. You wrote notes. He keeps showing it off like it's some prize that he won.
Did I do good, Kevin?
Okay, I have a throwaway question here for Owen. We get to the introduction of the Bill Murray character, and he has a giant deck of cards. Owen, did you get excited as an owner of a giant deck of cards?
Oh, man, I feel I must have missed the giant deck.
You didn't see the giant deck?
Yeah, the giant deck of cards.
Oh, shit. God damn it. That would have been a perfect time for me to bust them out.
Yeah, you love those.
Oh, I do love those. Yeah, I played a full game with those full deck of cards the other day. It was the most fun game of cards I've ever played. Just because it was just entertaining. You're like, it was just a little bit more fun.
You don't remember the opening scene where he's basically trying to fuck his student or whatever?
Yeah, I do remember that, but I don't remember the cards.
That's kind of like Bill Murray in this movie. I just feel like is a horn dog. He just wants to fuck. That's all.
That's every movie he's in.
Yeah.
He's just a fucking sly cat. Let's talk about Bill Murray. Dennis, what are your thoughts on Bill Murray? Pre-Ghostbusters, post-Ghostbusters, just... This guy is a legend, and I think everybody has mixed feelings about him.
Yeah, I mean, the start of the movie, I'm like, all right, this is how he is every movie. Same sort of character, like very cocky sort of person. But by the end of it, I'm like, he carries this movie. That's how I felt, at least. I mean, he does play the same character in every single movie. But I think without him in this movie, it wouldn't be as interesting. If it was just Dan Aykroyd. Dan Aykroyd plays a very good straight man, and same with Beck, the Harold Ramis guy. But he's the comic relief. I mean, I think he has the best lines in the movie. So
Dan Aykroyd had a line that really got me. They were just got fired from their university job, and Dan Aykroyd goes, "I've worked in the private sector before. You don't want to do it. They expect results."
Oh yeah,
I thought that was really clever.
Wait, I have a question for you guys. How old do you think Bill Murray is in this movie?
I looked it up.
Dude, he's in this movie.
Yeah.
He does not look good in this movie.
Owen, what do you think?
35.
Okay, Kevin?
I would guess he's 38 in this movie.
Okay.
Pushing 40.
He is our age, 33.
Oh, that was close. Wow.
Man, people looked bad. Just remember how we watched Rocky, and Rocky was, I think, younger than us, and he looked terrible. All the people in there looked awful.
Yeah. Dan Aykroyd's only 31, too, and he wrote it, this movie.
Him.
Nowadays, you're so used to, like, between the makeup artist and now, like, if you watch a reality show, they literally have a filter on, like, them while they're talking. So it's just, like... We have heightened expectations of what a person should look
like. I don't know, because I'm around people that are in their 30s, and they all look better than that. I think it's the whole thing of taking care of yourself, getting better skincare stuff, like better soap even. So soap back then was probably like scraping off everything that you had on your face.
I feel like back then it was better to look more like older and more distinguished.
That's
not,
true. Like you
not.
Almost, if you had like the Larry David ring haircut, like you almost embraced
yeah,
it.
Like, where now it's like, I got to look like I'm in my late 20s for the rest of my life compared to mm-hmm. back then. It was like, because you weren't fucking looking at pictures every day of fucking people going, "Oh, wow, that guy's my age. That guy's my age. That guy's my age." That no, you're looking at the guy on the subway. You're like, OK, I'm better than that fucking guy. or this guy in the bus, not these supermodels.
That's a good point. That's true. That's a good point. I also think that I don't think that people didn't. I think they cared still. It's just them not needing to care as much.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you a different question about Bill Murray. Oh, and did you give your thoughts on him? Do you like him?
Oh, we could pass.
Okay.
Wait, do you like him?
I've not so much, no. It's not as much as him as it is like the obsession around Bill Murray of them thinking he's like the funniest fucking guy that hit the planet. That is my problem.
I would make a case that Paul Rudd is almost the new Bill Murray, and that's why they put Paul Rudd in the new movie, because I think he has that same appeal, just like this timeless guy who's just so lovable and goofy. And
sure, I could see where you could put them in the same category, but they're different, because you could also put Tom Hanks in that category, but Tom Hanks isn't Bill Murray. But they're like likable, and they're going to be around and like can kind of plug those people into different scenarios. Bill Murray will definitely play more of the comedy. And
I feel like I agree that Paul Rudd has similar humor, but the horn dogness and like he just wants to fuck the whole time, Paul Rudd doesn't have that. But it is very true to like Bill Murray's generation. I just think of like my father-in-law and like just like people, they like say lines like that, like they are Bill Murray, you know. And so yeah, I think Paul Rudd has the same type of humor, but not the same presence, I guess, as Bill Murray.
Man, I don't know. I love Paul Rudd though, and I don't love Bill Murray.
Oh, and what have you seen what's Bill Murray movie have you seen him in? I'm just curious. Like, how do you even know?
Well, there's Ghostbusters. I feel like I kind of avoid him because I've watched, what's that one movie?
Lost in Translation is a great Japan movie.
You know, that's a good point, Dennis. I don't think any movies I see that make me not like him. It's just his personality outside of it and the people that
around. I can end it there. Oh, and it's just like he does have this certain allure to a bunch of people that can be quite annoying. It's just like
it's dorky,
like,
too.
I don't like the Patriots because a lot of people like the Patriots, or I don't like the Cowboys. It's just like you don't have the level of appreciation that is warranted. I get that.
Thanks, Kevin.
Can I just give you the quote that I talked about earlier that made me kind of love Bill Murray, because he just kind of changed my life? Because he said, Bill Murray's like, you know, the quote that changed my life is somebody once told me, the more relaxed you are, the better you are. And that couldn't be any more true. Like, if you are just relaxed in your job, relaxed on the basketball court, like, you're gonna perform better. So, like, stop stressing, stop being a neurotic dummy, and just, like, people are gonna like you better if you just don't fucking aren't high strung, you know?
That's very true.
You're going to seem smarter. You're going to seem more confident.
I feel like I feel that the most during like golf, where have you ever just been golfing?
Totally.
And like halfway through, you're like, man, I'm like shooting really well and I'm getting relaxed. But then in my mind, that's when I start to go off the rails. But when you go in kind of no expectations and you're just like hitting the ball, not thinking about it, is when you're playing the best.
Universal lines, everything just goes right down the middle. You just,
yeah.
That's when you're the best. That's why Steph Curry's great at basketball. That guy is the most, I'd argue, is the most relaxed person on the planet. He just, like, everything is just second nature to him. He just shoots that ball. Anything else on Bill Murray?
Nope. Dennis, yeah, you're getting your notes here.
Yeah. Make sure you, like, flip them around a little bit and make that, I want to hear the, what is it? MSR? What do you? AMSR?
Yeah, I do. So my two notes about Bill Murray, I said,
okay, Bill Murray did.
Bill Murray is handsy. that was one of my notes. I have another separate note is
Dan Aykroyd is weird.
I said Bill Murray is horny.
Well, those two go hand in hand.
Like Billy Madison notes,
literally.
Miss Lippy's car is green.
The whole reason they got fired from this job is because Bill Murray was like a handsy guy and was trying to fuck his students.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he was a character of the time. All right, let's get next into what I want to describe. Let's talk about ghost busting and something that Dennis is actually quite interested in. Because did you get any parallels between this and The Unbinding, a documentary we watched? You must have thought about it a couple times.
Yeah, when the big green slime monster came out and was eating all the food, I'm like, this seems real.
Oh, and did you catch, they literally brought out like the same device that the guys were using to check the electromagnetic. Yeah. Like there was a lot of just like, I wonder if that guy who did The Unbinding was a big Ghostbuster.
Well, he must have been. He'd be like, oh, that's what they use. So let me build something like that. They must know. Or someone did some research, you know, maybe that is their like what to find some like activity. That's what you need to build. So maybe it's accurate.
No, I bet that there are devices that have been made only because of this movie that don't do fucking shit.
Like
for your exact reason.
Like Halloween costumes. They built the device for it.
Like people always say like science fiction like almost spurs science because like people like when they want to develop like some kind of technology, they're referencing the books they read growing up or the movies they read growing up. So I bet so many of these modern day Ghostbusters were like at one point, like, you know, we got to be careful. We can't cross streams. Like, you know how ghosts are.
Hard yeah. Or technology have like a is. Thing you throw on the ground and be like, this will capture the ghosts and suck them in.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's it. That's interesting, Kevin, because I was just reading an article about Apple and Apple TV and how most of their shows are sci-fi shows for that exact reason and how they just want to look like they're a futuristic company and like spur innovation and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, like every futurist is going to have that because like, well, I mean, I'm sure they aren't really concerned with spurring innovation. I'm sure they're just,
I think it's just, I guess more of the image of futuristic. But yeah, I think this movie probably made people believe in ghosts more. And then I was thinking about this movie in general and how I felt like it was the Marvel movie at the time where everyone was obsessed with it. And I remember being little and having like a fucking Ghostbusters firehouse. And this is probably like 1994, 1995.
So like 10 years
after the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
can I go back to your Apple thing really quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
How much do you think they're like, man, like we want these people to think that like you can't watch Silo without an Apple Vision Pro Plus. Like that's the only way to watch Silo. You need the $700 Apple Vision Pro Plus.
I don't think it's that on the nose.
What does it cost?
Like $3,000.
Oh, okay.
To say $700, I'd be wearing that shit right now doing this podcast.
You're right, Dennis. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Continue with what you're saying, unless you completely forgot.
I forgot. But I think with Apple, I think it's more of the feeling of like, oh, they have futuristic programs. They're a futuristic company, that sort of thing.
No, that makes total sense. Like we want to be associated with advancement and innovation.
Yeah.
So we're not going to do a show like Shogun where it's like the opposite. Yeah. No, I mean, that's the opposite.
I know. I just like, I forgot that's how you pronounce it.
I know. I would have never done it if Owen didn't tell me. Now I feel obligated Shogun. Okay, let me ask you another question. I'll start with Owen on this one because he lives in Seattle. Have you ever met a real life scientist? Like the characters in these movies are all scientists. I don't.
That is a good, like, I'm trying to rack my brain right now to see if I have. I don't believe I have. I'm sure someone I've crossed paths with. I'll think about it. I know I have. I just can't.
It's like hard to like just imagine somebody who works for a university and they're just working on like methods and like I don't know. I've never met anybody.
Yeah, like I don't hang around with a lot of dorks, so I'm not sure.
Does Oppenheimer count?
Yeah, Oppie, he counts.
It's the closest person I know.
Yeah, yeah, I guess I don't know. Like, it's teachers, are those like science teachers? I haven't met one. I'm just curious. Are science teachers considered scientists?
Unless it's like a university professor that's teaching as like a, as like, because they have to, but they're mainly there for like to do their studies. It does. I mean, when I was in the communication schools at OSU and OU, those guys always argued they were scientists because they were like researching like shit like, is John Stewart impacting the political election? But like, that's as close as I came.
Yeah, no, you need to have a lab coat on and mixing around. You need beakers. You need to be trying to figure some shit out. And if you're not, I think you're just stealing the title.
I have a question. I think my favorite actor in this movie is Rick Moranis. And I'm, I
is
don't
that
know.
A question?
Yeah.
To me. Dennis, who's your favorite actor? Rick Moranis. Good question, Dennis. So weird to say your own name. I feel like that's not how I would say my name. Dennis.
Did you use, so you didn't hit your weed pen before this?
No,
or did
I
you?
Didn't, I did.
Because this is so confusing. Okay.
I've been up since like fucking 4 a.m., all right?
I know. Trying to read Dune. We got it.
Yeah.
It's fine. We know your whole life right now.
I have a lot on Rick Moranis, Dennis. Do you know his story?
I know that he's disappeared for a while because of his kids.
Yeah, like his wife died, and his kid is maybe like developmentally, like he just like wanted to like take care of him. I think he did come back for one of these new Ghostbusters movies, but like I love that story about him so much. He's like, I was on top of the world, and I love him too, Dennis. Like I think you put him in anything, he's so interesting, so funny, so naturally charismatic. I admire him. I'll even say it.
I was just watching The Little Giants like 2 weeks ago.
Great
and,
movie.
Yeah, and he's in that movie. Because that I feel like that's the movie I've seen him the most in. Because I used to rewatch that movie all the time. And I always thought, I'm like, this guy's a fucking nerd. And then in Ghostbusters, I'm like, he's a nerd. And then now that I'm older, I'm like, oh, he's an actor playing a nerd. He's not actually a nerd. Like, he's actually a really
And
funny.
He's actually making being a nerd kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked his like the beginning outfit that he had on too. I was like, damn, his glasses look good. That like tracksuit that he had on with his, I don't know if they're Nikes or not.
Yeah.
Noticed that. And I was like, that looks sick. I think I don't know if that was nerdy back then though, but it looks good now.
I love when she's like walking by and he's having the party and he has like a lot of people at this party. He's like, hey, are you coming by later?
They're all his clients. I find that so funny.
Dave just invested $15,000 into his 401k.
He's great. I would watch it. I feel like I've dug into deep into him because he was like a famous comedy scene, like with like John Candy and a few other people.
What did you guys think about that apartment building having carpet in the hallway? That really threw me off.
Dennis, I'm impressed. You got questions. You're ready. Are these like off the cusp or is these your
that
notes?
One? I was. Wait, let me see if I wrote that. Oh, yeah. Carpet in apartment building, I wrote.
Did you put a question mark at the end?
No, I
carpet
didn't.
In apartment?
It wasn't that weird, Dennis. It'll just take 10 to 20 influencers to like make carpet cool again. And every Pinterest account will be pushing carpet. Every TikTok will be pushing carpet. Like, your feet are so comfy. Look at the decoration. Like, look at the uniqueness. It just takes.
When I bought my house, the upstairs, like the whole house is hardwood floor. And I told Lisa, I'm like, I want carpet in the bedrooms because, I mean, that's what I had growing up and everything. And she didn't want to do it. And now, like, we're so happy we did it because just how often our kids hit their heads against the floor also.
Yeah. It's loud. Wood is sterile.
Yeah.
It's like it's hard
cozy.
To maintain. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just trends, man. They come and go. And like, I'm like annoyed when I just see like people following trends because it's just like. Why are you? I always bring it back to the Stanley
just
Tumbler.
Buy some
but like,
carpet, guys.
But it's just like you can go to Target and get like a 75-ounce tumbler. But like, why do you need the Stanley Tumbler? You know,
it lasts 3 hours longer, so like 78 hours instead of 75. So.
Yeah,
it's worth it.
that disgusting ass ice from your freezer that smells like carrots.
Why does some ice just stink so bad?
Does the freezer just hold? Okay, that's a great next question. Because the main plot of this movie is that the demons live in the fridge.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask you guys, what the fuck is in your fridge right now? I can start. Nothing.
Oh, I have so much.
Really? What is
nothing?
Your girlfriend ate.
Well, ever since she used to have stuff in her fridge, she used to have like a what I would describe
in her fridge. Like, so you're not your fridge.
When she lived by herself.
Okay.
She used to have what I would describe as like a cribs fridge, where it would have like a line of seltzers, a line of sodas, a line of like a perfect line, like stuff she would never consume. Just kind of always there because all she ever used was the ice machine and the water. Mm-hmm. But now, ever since she moved in, she gave up on that. And our fridge is just pretty much empty in the middle or the main section. And then just a bunch of sauces in the door that I never use.
So do you guys order in all the time? Or do you go to the store? I know you don't cook. She cooks something and then you guys eat it and that's it for that meal and then it's
over. She's a big freezer person, like, so everything she wants to consume is in the freezer. Like,
okay,
she'll have like a 24 pack of like frozen chickens or something there, or
any
like
fish?
I'm sure, yeah, or like some kind of
your but favorite, like,
nothing's in the fridge, everything's in the freezer. We're not going back.
I was trying to catch you like, I don't eat fish.
Still a bunch of stuff I don't eat, like fish. And
yeah.
What's in my fridge? Everything you can think of. Meats, condiments, beer, wine.
You don't even drink beer.
It's fine. No, I know. I was going to tell you the beer has been in there since our wedding. So there's a shit ton of tonic in there, too, that no one here uses. Sandwich stuff. Everything. Vegetables, fruit. The whole thing is packed.
Yeah.
It's a lot. I would say kids. Yeah,
it's kids different. It's
way different. Even if it wasn't kids, though, there'd still be a good amount of just those things, not as much.
Yeah.
Very like long term stuff, though. Like, not like you don't just go to the grocery store, pack it up. And
I have
it's
to go.
Gone
my
week.
Kids eat so much fucking fruit, and it's so expensive. Like, I have grapes, oranges, apples, strawberries, blueberries. Those are all in my fridge right now.
I have a solution for you. Want to hear it, Dennis?
What?
Go to Costco. Just get like a fucking 1,000-pack of Jolly Ranchers. You got all those in there, man.
That's great.
Strawberry.
Those last forever, too.
Fucking Gobstoppers. And the other ones. So my fridge, I would say the only thing I ever put in there is like a pack of ham from the deli, a pack of cheese from the deli, some bread from the bread section, and that'll last for 3 days.
I can tell you're a shopper. You know your sections. Got the ham section, the bread section.
Okay. All right, let's keep plugging away on Ghostbusters.
I feel bad for Megan because she probably loves a stock fridge, and Kevin's like, no.
No, honestly, I think I'm just wearing her down. She's just like, you know what? Why do I need to keep my fridge stocked with seltzers that nobody's going to drink? Like, I think I'm just kind of wearing on her. Like, my methodology is coming around.
We need her to wear off on you, Kevin, for a full fridge. Full fridge is good. Empty fridge is bad.
Dude, I'm making my eggs. I'm putting salt. I'm putting pepper. I'm putting.
That's it.
I'm making ramen. I'm putting like this weird sauce here. This weird sauce here. I'm coming around.
You got gochujang sauce that you put on it.
Next question. All right. I only have a few more from this movie because, as I mentioned, I honestly just don't think we need to dig into the plot that much. There's a bunch of things that made me think about. Dennis, feel free to chime in because you got lots of notes. But my biggest question, I would argue, about this movie, because I'd say the biggest plot point in the movie is about crossing streams. Did you guys ever cross streams with your brothers growing up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
That's just like a normal like young kid that you both go to the bathroom at the same time. We both pee like, in the same toilet.
Sword fight. Not even people think of sword fight.
Yeah, you don't hit like, each. Yeah,
it's you don't just hit. That. You just use the streams. Yeah, it's fun.
My, no, it's funny. My boys now, if one of them goes pee, the other one immediately is like, "I gotta go pee," and they're both peeing and standing up peeing in the toilet. It's or like if fun, they see me going pee, they run over to pee. So I have like three people peeing in one toilet. And my stream lasts so much longer than theirs. So I'm like, I'm there
good
a long
for
time.
You.
Yeah, you're, good job, dude.
Good for you. That's awesome, I've been working Dennis. On it.
Okay.
Drinking lots of water.
Yeah.
I think when they wrote that scene, they knew that that's like just a relatable, funny concept to men. That is just an inherent, I bet since the beginning of time, men have been crossing their streams.
Yeah, Kevin, you're familiar with Bravo, so you know Summer House.
Yeah,
Sarah's watching, and there's two guys that were peeing and they were crossing streams peeing. These are grown 30-year-old men doing it.
40.
Oh yeah, they're older. They it's sad a little bit.
We've touched on Peter Pan syndrome. Yeah,
yes, we have.
Okay, my next hard-hitting question for you guys. What the fuck is with the blowjob scene in Ghostbusters?
Oh, yeah. I was watching that movie with my kids at that point, which I sent you guys a video. So
it's so unnecessary. What the, is there a larger purpose to it?
Yeah, I think they're just like sex sells. So just put it in there. Just throw it in there. Yeah. They want to get some like, oh, man, I heard Dan Aykroyd gets head on this. That's what all the boys are saying.
Well, it seems like there's multiple scenes where someone's going to fuck a ghost. Like, he's going to almost fuck the...
Bill Murray almost does it, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's just a relatability to it where it's just like, you know, you've probably met some of the worst people you've ever met, but, you know, they look like Sidney Sweeney, and you're just like, I guess I can look past that.
Do you think it's also weird? We're thinking it's weird now because we're thinking of this movie that was back in 1984. They look older. But if you had like a newer Seth Rogen movie where someone's like trying to bang a ghost, like you just look past it. You wouldn't even think about it. You're like, of course, that's just kind of funny.
Yeah, I think it's just a product of the time throws you off a little bit.
I think this movie probably came out as an adult movie, but like became a kids sort of movie sort of thing. Yeah. Where if this came out like, they didn't intend this movie to be like a kid phenomenon and all kids like it. So that was just a weird scene that they put in. But actually, I have a note at one point.
Okay. Stop referencing it, dude. You could just go with
notes. Eventually, when you have notes, you just stop mentioning it.
I have a note.
You just.
At one point, a ghost came up on the screen and Freddie, my oldest kid, took one of my dog's toys and threw it at the screen because he was so scared.
Man, aren't they going to have nightmares? You were watching it longer than that. You're worried about tonight? Are you going to get any sleep?
Lisa already had because they go to bed at like 8 o'clock. So the youngest one got up and was like, I'm scared. I'm scared. I
It'll make them tougher in the long run. Yeah. I don't think they'll.
I'd explain to him, like, that's just a mean doggy. It's nothing bad.
Did that work?
No, probably not. They're probably in all of my bed right now. So when I go upstairs.
So we covered everything I wanted to cover. Dennis, I don't know if you have anything else you want to rifle off.
Yeah, I got a few things.
Give me the Dennis. We're going to start this as a segment called the Dennis Notes. I want to just hear, like, you. We're not going to comment on it. We just want
to hear
your notes.
Do you want me to just read the notes?
You know, it's funny. I write a million notes. I don't need to get all of them out of the way. Dennis, for some reason, needs to make sure he hits all of them.
Oh, and this is a new segment. It's just called Dennis Notes. Don't react. Right. He reads them.
I only got halfway through my notes, so I wrote this one. Discreet, and then Bill Murray walks in. Hey, anybody see a ghost? Remember that part?
No, that sounds funny. but we're not reacting.
They call and they're like, hey, we got a very discreet thing. And then at the hotel, and he bursts open the doors. He's like, hey, anybody see a ghost?
That's hilarious. Continue with your notes.
Okay.
We're not reacting to these.
This note I already mentioned, but I probably should ask again. Does busting make you guys feel good? Okay. Keymaster Gatekeeper, great Halloween costume. This man has no dick, if you remember that line. I feel like I remember my dad saying that a few times. Was that David Bowie at the end? I can't even everything a set. Oh, yeah. I said everything a set. Like the whole their background, like any sort of background scene just looked like little miniature models of like the skyline of New York or anything like that. It was very different than like seeing green screens now where you could tell they were actually on like a soundstage. And
I'll buy into that. Everything was very practical. Like, yeah. Like they literally call that like practical effects. Like, yeah, that was a big thing around the time.
Yeah. So that's all my notes.
Okay. Because we're a woke podcast now, I wanted to ask you guys one major last question before I have a little challenge for us. Why did they add the black character in like 50 minutes into the movie? Do you think that was for comic reasons or like political reasons?
Yeah, I don't know.
I can make a case for the comic reasons because it was funny. Like these guys start a business, they're desperate for help, and now all of a sudden they're hiring a guy who knows nothing about or Ghost, and they're just like, we need anybody. So they just hire like the first person that applies for the job, which is funny. Like, okay, this guy could have gone and worked for Radio Shack or something, but he just ended up with the Ghostbuster. So that is a comedic presence.
But him being, what does that have to do with him being black?
Yeah.
Because he's clearly, because I mean, just it's an 80s movie. So it was just like, yeah, they could have definitely just put a blue collar guy in the job, but I think it accentuates it if it's a black guy.
Hmm.
Check cut this.
Yeah. All right. Like almost 1,000,000,000% sure, yes.
But can you guys get what I'm saying though? Like,
not for him being black. I honestly don't get that part. I get where you're saying they're just like hiring whoever they can. It was just whoever walks in the door.
The straight, like, this is just a normal.
Oh, somebody guy. Fish out of water. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess
helps that he's black.
They didn't like lean into that. He was. In the movie, they don't lean into that he's black, like sort of.
I just think in the 80s, it probably helped to have him black.
I don't know. Not in the 80s.
I was going to say, now. I feel like it was later.
Yeah.
But
just cut that.
Yeah. I don't want to get into this part. We don't need it on our record.
Cut it
or record.
Cut it, I think.
All right. All right.
Clip
okay,
it,
so
post it.
All right, so
yeah, get the controversy going. No bad presses.
Nobody's ever made it this far into any of our podcasts except for us.
That's not true.
This is the safe zone. Anybody who's made it this far is not gonna cancel us. They get it.
Who knows, man?
We're famous from 20 years from now,
and they start over.
Yeah,
when we're all getting cast at SNL.
Kevin's got such a like a tunnel vision right now. You got to think bigger picture. There's too many people out there.
Or like, hey, I'm trying to land a big client, and they're like, "Let me listen to this fucking Ghostbusters podcast."
Never. Yeah, that is the more worrisome thing that I always think about. It's like I have an actual job that I cannot lose.
Wait, Dennis, can I scare you really quick?
Go ahead.
They're like, oh, I'm looking to hire Dennis as an investigator. Oh, this is a podcast on investigation.
Well, I told you last week I interviewed a girl and she's like, I listened to your podcast. I'm like, fuck.
All right, really quick. I have two more things I want to cover. What were your thoughts on the movie? I just rewatched half of it, speed watched the second half, and then I read the synopsis and I'm like, this is a perfect comedy. Like, it has a very cohesive plot. There was a couple moments that made me laugh. If it was 20 years ago, it probably would have made me laugh out loud. But just like, I thought it was just a really, it still is to this day, an enjoyable movie and very simple, relatable plot.
Yeah, I get why.
Starting a ghost busting business.
I get why it's a hit, like, and why it's lasted for so long. It's a good movie. So,
yeah, well, I'm curious, Owen, what do you, I mean, this is your first time seeing it, but I'm sure you've heard about it so many times. But what, how do you rank it out of comedies, out of 10?
Out of comedies on a 10? Like,
it's just not that funny.
Yeah, I would say, I don't know if what, I just, it was. I don't feel like I can rank it. I feel like it's just like, it's good to watch. It's good to have in the background. I'm glad I've seen it. I wish I paid more attention than I did. This was probably the one movie that I was kind of distracted, but for the most part, I got everything. It's good. I don't know if I could rank it anywhere though.
Okay.
Not gonna put a number on it. I agree though,
because I was dreading watching this movie.
Yeah,
and I actually watched the first like 15 minutes like 4 days ago, and I'm like,
of course you did.
I'm not looking, and then today I'm like, I'll just watch a YouTube video synopsis. But then I had to watch. Lisa had to work late, so I had to watch The Boys, and I'm like, I'm just gonna fucking put it on. Mm-hmm. And then I got into it, and they were really into it too.
I believe so, it's
yeah. So
that's amazing, like a multi generational movie. It's just people are interested in ghosts.
That is impressive, that movie from the 80s, that your boys are still like, whoa.
I think it's just, it's
not animation.
Easy way to get into ghosts. And they like understand ghosts. And it's not like you're watching fucking The Ring. It's the first step into like ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Last thing we want to discuss about this. But there is a new Ghostbusters movie coming out. Prior to that, there was a brand new Ghostbusters movie that came out with Paul Rudd called Ghostbusters Afterlife. None of you guys have seen it, right?
No.
Owen?
No.
So what do we think this movie franchise is about? Like this new one with the Ghostbusters?
Before you even say that, there was another one that came out all women.
That was like a remake. That was just like a garbage remake.
And then there's also Ghostbusters 2, which in my mind, those are like the same. Because I was getting mixed up between the two movies, because I've seen probably both of them the same. Because Bill Murray and the original cast is in them.
Tell me what this Ghostbusters Afterlife with Paul Rudd and the kid from Stranger Things is about in your head. All right? Is that clear?
In my head?
Yeah, like what do you think this is about before we look up the actual plot synopsis? It
has me thinking of in my mind.
Okay.
In my head. This is where are we supposed to answer this right now? From I wasn't listening. What do we have to do?
What do you think the modern day Ghostbuster is like? What do you think
with Paul Rudd and the kid from Stranger Things?
Yeah.
All I'm saying is they casted it very well. I don't know what it's going to be about, but then Stranger Things, they dressed up like the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Because they loved it.
No, it's funny. My fucking kids. I tell them the story of Stranger. They love it. And I watched like the first three episodes. They were terrified of it. But
no shit, dude. That I was fucking scared of that when I was like 20 something or in my 20s watching it.
But it's very similar feel. And I think it's a nostalgia sort of feel.
Yeah. And, that's the whole point of Stranger Things. It's a nostalgia show.
Kevin, you asked about Stranger Things, right?
Well, I think that's a good point, though. Like, I think that's a perfect cast for that. Like, the whole point of Stranger Things is nostalgia. This movie's from the 80s, so why not cast somebody from a show about the 80s in a movie that's from...
So that's why I was like, this is perfect for them. I don't think you could have casted anyone else other than those kids. One of those
kids. I think we can work together on this. So what do we think Ghostbusters Afterlife and the sequel are about?
I have a general idea. I know it's Harold Ramsey's son is Paul Rudd, I believe, and they say he dies, and they're like, he's interested in ghosts because of his dad. That's like all I know.
What then?
I don't know.
It just started storming here. I gotta close my window really quick.
Can't hear it. Oh, you might not be able to hear. I don't know what it's going to be about. I just think that they casted it really well. Paul Rudd's very likable. It's an easy role. It's an easy thing to watch. He was Ant-Man. He could kind of just slip into this role pretty simple.
This seems like a movie where I'd be like, I wouldn't watch it on my own, but if my kids were like, I like Ghostbusters, I'd be like, all right, I'll go see this movie in theaters. Because I know it wouldn't be bad, but it wouldn't be a movie I'd ever choose on my own to watch.
No, Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb, it won't get great ratings, but it'll do enough to make some money.
It'll be like 56% is my guess.
If a movie gets a sequel, I assume it's at least watchable.
Yeah, but it's also never going to be as good as the original. But they are doing it as a money play.
I think Bill Murray is in this one.
And Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
And Ernie Hudson.
I think he's going to be a horn dog in this one.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think that's kind of his little thing. Wait, okay. So, all right. So we have no clue what these movies are about. I'm going to watch Ghostbusters Afterlife, and I might even see the new one.
No. Okay. You won't eat it. You won't eat that fish.
Wait, did I ask you guys this already? Oh my god, it's Zool. They're storming. That's exciting.
Is that
Zool? Cool.
What's
Zool?
Zool.
Zool.
What is this for, like, in the middle of it?
Yeah, in the middle, we're just going to put it in there like, hey, thanks for listening.
Not talking like that.
Okay.
I refuse to make it sound like a commercial. Yeah. We just got to tell everyone that they need to follow us on social media at PickFreaks on TikTok and Instagram, and to give us 5-star rating. You can roast us, but don't give us less than 5 stars.
Yeah.
That's all we have to say.
So just say that.
Is there
Seven, any, go?
Yeah, if you're you're listening,
just cut what I said and put it on there. Who cares?
Muzzy now comes with 4 videos, 2 audios, a script book, parents guide, and new exciting CD-ROM, plus this free bonus with your paid order.